This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. As always, coming to you from the patio studios, the original place for party time when it comes to Cardinal baseball. Our friends over at Patios do it like nobody else, and we're looking forward, obviously, to getting it started on opening day. Speaking of opening day, I'm very happy to announce that we will be releasing the details soon of a great contest involving you, the fans. And your chance to join us on opening day. We're going to have two sets of two tickets to give away to fans of the show. You'll be sitting with Steve-O and I. You'll have the opportunity to meet our co-host Benji Molina as well and join us for opening day down at Busch Stadium. A national holiday, as always. You'll get your get-out-of-jail-free card from Benji Molina, whether it be for work or with the wife or with the hubby, depending on your situation. Benji will give you that note. But you'll be able to join us for opening day, enjoy the festivities, and, of course, just take in a great game when it comes to Cardinal baseball. We'll be releasing the details on that soon. Excited about it and looking forward to having some fans join us for opening day as well. Want to thank our friends at InnovativeCompanies.com for always making everything possible here on the show, especially things like the contest we're going to do for opening day. That's my good friend Randy Green and yours, and whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, he's got you covered. If your needs involve construction, heating and cooling, or electric, they're tops in the game, folks. And again, he means business when he looks you in the eye and shakes your hand and tells you it's going to get done. You can, you know, just sit back and be relaxed knowing it's going to get done. Again, that's InnovativeCompanies.com, my good friend and yours, Randy Green. Thanks for joining us this week. I know the schedule's been real hit and miss lately. We've got we had that flu rip through the office. We've had numerous things go down. We're working on different studios. We're enlarging. We're getting bigger here. We're going to enlarge some studio space. We're going to add more studios. We're going to be capable to do more things around here. And in that time frame, we're kind of sputtering all over the place. Some travel right now as we prepare, but better to do it now than before the season gets started. So my hopes are that starting with this show, we will be up and running next week on our normal schedule. So you'll get plenty of Cardinal talk, and of course the guys on Bow Ties and Bullshit will be back on Wednesday as well. Happy to have you with us this week as I am prepared to welcome in our friend and co-host Benji Molina. As I gotta ask him about some of these proposed changes that are going on. Some of them I can have a real conversation about. Some of them I can't even have a serious conversation. And I just, listen, I don't claim to be an expert. I don't claim to know all the inner workings of Major League Baseball and the what's and whys. But man, some of this stuff, I can't believe that grown men involved in the game of baseball are actually proposing, like, for instance, I can't believe we're talking about putting a runner on second base in extra innings. I can't believe we're talking about making a relief pitcher pitch to three batters. Well, I forget the strategy part of it. The health thing is an issue. There's so many things that are wrong with that. You know, you want more offense in the game, right? So I have to believe that that's unless you bring him in and then they get out of an inning. Because are you telling me if you bring in a pitcher and he's due up, he's got a bat for himself? So you're telling me if I bring Andrew Miller in to face, I don't know, Joey Votto in the bottom of the seventh inning or the top of the seventh inning with two outs and a runner on base because it's a tight spot, and I bring Andrew Miller in to face Joey Votto, and the pitcher spot's coming up the next inning and he gets Joey Votto out, you're telling me the first two guys get on base and Andrew Miller's got a bat? Because he's got to go back out and face two more hitters? I thought we wanted more. I thought we were getting a DH to eliminate that. Now, if you put the DH in, that changes things drastically, of course. But now we get back to the health thing, the strategy portion of the game, right? So, you know, is it a give and take? Is it a we're gonna do this, but then we're gonna give the Players Association the DH in the National League, which I agree with numerous people that have said this. I have a hard time believing these National League owners are gonna say, sure, let's put the DH in. I'm dying to pay another premier hitter. You know, I don't know. That's just me. Maybe there's a method to the madness here. And if there is, I say it all the time, not privy to all the information, right? So, you know, the three batter thing definitely works a lot easier if there's a DH, because now you don't have to worry about it, right? But if the DH thing doesn't work, I mean, unless you start now expanding the rule and saying, well, it's only if he's in an inning. Like within that inning that he enters, he has to face at least three batters unless the inning ends, and then you start a new inning and you start over. You know, we don't know what the extent of the rule is, so it's hard to completely complain unless you just think it's silly. And then you can complain all you want because, you know, that's what we do sometimes. But, you know, things like, you know, it's funny. I thought about this. I thought, how silly is it that I saw somewhere they've contemplated moving the mound back? And then I thought, well, you know, we've heard rumblings in Major League Baseball the NBA that, you know, they've toyed around with, you know, raising the net. Is it possible they could move the mound back? Well, they lowered it. Is anything really off the table when it comes to them doing what they think they have to do to improve the game? And when they talk about improving the game, what are they really talking about? They're talking about adding offense. So it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't do some things that seem a little bit odd to us to increase the offense. Because let's face it, folks, okay, if there's a strike coming or a lockout, whatever there's going to be, I'm assuming it would be a strike, okay? There is no blind eye turned to PEDs anymore, and there is no going to be no Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa thing going on to help bring the game back, okay? And I don't think they're dumb enough not to know that. So if you're going to have a strike, and you need to bring the game back and everybody loves offense, well, you know, you want more offense? Yeah, I mean, lower the mound some more, I guess. Move it back. Add a DH. Whatever. But that's there's more to this than there's a lot more to this than meets the eye, I think. But we're going to hear from our friend here in just a few minutes after I remind you to check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. We'd appreciate it very much. You can listen to the episodes there as well. Pretty soon, happy to announce that you'll be able to go to twobirdsonabat.com as we will be adding bloggers to our group. We're going to be very happy to welcome in a team of great ladies and gentlemen that love to write about Cardinal baseball, love to share opinions and get some things going. So we're really excited about that, and I'm looking forward to adding them. More to come on that. I'm going to get something really big off my plate here in about 2 days, and that's my next order of business, both the contest for opening day and going ahead and expanding on our Two Birds bloggers, and I'm excited about it. I've had so many people send me great stuff that want to do this, and I'm excited. I know you will be as well. Social media, Twitter. If you're a Cardinal fan, you follow us, we're going to follow you back. at Birds on a Bat shows where you can follow us there. Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our page. Click invite your friends as well. We would ask that when you see the pinned post, that's the show, you like it, comment on it, and share it. That just helps us reach more Cardinal fans, and we do greatly appreciate it. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat show. And, of course, all of our great friends at lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform. Very excited as we move forward with some Cardinal talk on Yo Radio that you guys will be able to access simply by downloading the Yo Radio app for free on your mobile device. Make sure you do that today. Just a little hint, that's going to be part of the contest to win the opening day ticket, so you might as well get started on it. And again, it is free, and you just go to your mobile device and download it from the App Store. All right, it's time. Let's talk a little change when it comes to baseball. On the m4byyachty.com, everybody's favorite, Benji Molina. And, of course, the real talent of the show, as always, on the m4byyachty.com hotline, my friend and yours, everyone's favorite Cardinal fan. And, of course, I know it's going to make Polo mad, but everybody's favorite Spanish broadcaster, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
Heck yeah, man. I've been missing you guys. I wanted to do the show. You know, I'm sorry to the fans, you know. We couldn't do the show. I've been going through a really rough patch here the last couple of weeks, personal reasons. But, hey, man, I'm here, and I'm excited. I tell you, Jimbo, I'm excited to be back on doing the show, and we got so many surprises for the fans too, you know?
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming up. And, hey, listen, it's not your fault. I mean, we, you know, we had the whatever this bug that's going around is ravaged through our office. And for all of our listeners too, I mean, the new studios at lineupmedia.fm will be up and running soon. So we've had some studio issues as we start moving into the new building, but well, we should be back up and running on normal schedule next week for all of our fans. But we're here today, really all that matters. And I got some stuff that I want to ask you about because I'm very curious your thoughts on this whole Bryce Harper, Manny Machado thing. I think we all had an idea that, you know, they were going to play it out a little bit and try to get the most money. But we're kind of at the point now of almost insanity. I mean, how shocked are you that these two guys? I mean, we have lots of free agents still available. But how shocked are you that these two guys are still available?
I'm very shocked, though. I'm very, very shocked that they're not. You know, they haven't signed with anybody yet. But I've been in their shoes, and they're trying so hard to hold on to being a. You know what I'm saying? Like to get in the most out of the whole thing. You know, that's what they're trying to do, and they're trying to see how it plays out. They don't need sprint training. I mean, I'm sure they do, but I'm just saying to get their money, right? So I don't think they do in that matter. I'm really confused. But anyways, I think I'm very, very surprised that they're really haven't signed, man, with somebody yet. But like we said, they're just going to have to take less and less money the more time they wait, right?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, this is obviously more than money, right? Like this is a shift, a change in philosophy. And here's the thing, not just from the St. Louis Cardinals, as a lot of people would have you believe and that are upset, okay? But it's a change across baseball. You know, we're Cardinal fans are bent out of shape, and it kills me. We're bent out of shape because we won't engage in Harper or Machado. I'm bent out of shape because I'd like to have either one of them. And I also believe in my heart that either one of them take us from what I think's a really good team this year to a really, really good team this year. Because I believe that Paul Goldschmidt and Andrew Miller make us better. I believe that. I don't know that you can argue that. Okay, now there are no guarantees in baseball. We all know that, but they would make us better. I mean, anytime you add talent, an elite talent, you would have to believe you're going to be better, right? So, the St. Louis Cardinals aren't the only team in this boat here. There are a lot of teams in baseball that could say the exact same thing the St. Louis Cardinals are saying. Are you telling me, for Cardinal fans out there? And I know we don't care. Like we're not. It's like when I tell my kids, I don't care about so-and-so's kids. I care about you and what you're doing when my kids try to say, well, so-and-so did it. So, listen, I care about you. But in the general scheme of things, are you telling me that the Milwaukee Brewers wouldn't be better if they signed Manny Machado? They would go from a really good team to a really, really good team. The Chicago Cubs.
What do we do then?
Yeah. The Chicago Cubs, if they signed Bryce Harper, would go from a really good team to a really, really good team. You could say that about every team. So the Cardinals, you know, they're not the only team in on this. Now, I'm going to come back to what I've said all along, and I want your thoughts on this. I don't understand why this is the second year in a row Mozeliak's done this, okay? He would always play things close to the vest. 2 years in a row now, he's talked real big and then didn't follow up on his words. Now, this year, I will say, and last year, he did go out and make changes and add what I would call good players.
Well, but we still have to at least give him some credit because they went out and got Goldschmidt on a risky contract. Risky, very risky. He's not signed for next year.
Right.
So, on a very risky, they took the chance on this guy. They signed the best left-hander possible out there in the free agency. And now they, you know, if they didn't sign Machado or Harper, we still got to be okay with what they did. They trust their arms in the bullpen. We have great arms in the bullpen. So, we'll see what happened on that.
I agree. The offense
should be all right, right?
I mean, I agree with you. 100% agree with you. I think my issue is, and again, we're back to the terms he used, the verbiage he used, and this is where fans, I think, get upset. I'm in agreement with you. Like I said, you add one of the top hitters in baseball. You add what at times has been one of the best relief pitchers in baseball, much less one of the best left-handers. Now, I understand that he had a down year last year because he was hurt. But they come out and they talk about they're gonna spend and they're gonna have this payroll muscle and then nothing changes. I mean, the payroll is gonna basically be the same. And I'm not one of these people that's really bent out of shape like we should be spending to the luxury tax. But we've obviously misspent some money that we're eighth in the league in payroll, and we can't do better with some decisions that we've made in the past. And I think we all know what they are. And I think we also all can agree that it doesn't do any good to beat the dead horse, because all you'd have to do is reallocate a little bit of money and you could easily stay there. I think this is more than about money though, Benji. These teams, I think, have decided that these 10-year contracts just aren't going to work for them. And in the end, we're heading towards a strike or a lockout or something.
I don't see why we got a lockout because they don't want to sign for $400 million, man. I don't see that happening. I really don't. How the heck are you going to tell me we have to sign somebody for $400 million? No, we don't. No, we don't. The problem is that the players, I'm a player. You give me $1 billion and I'll sign it right now. There's no big deal. I'll sign it. You know what I'm saying? But if there's nobody willing to pay $400 and they already offer you $300 and you said no, and then the White Sox offered $170 or something like that and you said no, I mean, what is the strike about? What's the strike going to be about? Because they've been offered good money. I mean, that's not what they were looking for. But it doesn't make it bad money. It doesn't make it horrible money. You see what I'm saying? So I don't see the strike happening in that matters. I really don't. It'll be really crazy if that happens, you know?
Yeah, I get it. I just don't think it doesn't not happen. There's no way that we don't have a strike. The players got to be stewing right now. They do. They have to be stewing right now. So I don't, it's hard to blame them. Nobody talks about the owners. I've said this 100 times. Everybody says the players shouldn't make this, the players. How come nobody talks about the owners make way more than the players? And they should. Listen, no problem here. They own something. They own it. They take risk. They are taxed with doing things that the players don't have to worry about. So I have no problem with that. I don't begrudge anybody making money. The problem is, why do we pick and choose who we begrudge making the money? If the money is there, listen, the owners are making money for a reason. You know why? Because of the players. No players, no money.
And big money. We're not talking about just any money. Like, we're not talking about just any kind of money, Jimbo.
I agree.
It's real money. I mean, they're making, you know what I'm saying?
I listen, you're preaching to the choir here. And I say this, I don't have a problem with how much money the owners make. I don't have a problem with how much money the players make. It's a free market, okay? They can do what they do. They can pick and choose what they want to do. You have a league of haves and have-nots. It's been that way for quite some time. I don't even know that I have an issue with that. It's a supply and demand thing. When you have teams, though, that have a true need, in my opinion, and they don't want to spend the money or they don't want to engage, I think we have an issue. Now, we can come back to reality and say, okay, Jim, I hear what you're saying, but it isn't like people aren't trying to sign Bryce Harper. I mean, Bryce Harper, and we don't know this for sure, but you know what we think we know is that there was a 10-year, $300 million contract by Washington that he turned down. So if he turned that down and he doesn't get that, well, then shame on him. He made a business decision, a poor one. Unless he decides he wants to go somewhere else and doesn't care about the money, then that's up to him, right? And I'm sure there's been offers made to Manny Machado, and they're just not what he's seeking. So it isn't like poor little player. I'm sure the players and their want to maximize their value and go to a certain place, I'm sure that plays a role in this, okay? But it is blatantly obvious that that this thing has not trended in the direction as it's trended in the past. Now, is that good business or is that good decisions on the field? Some of the statistical people would tell you none of these players are worth 10 years and you can replace them for a lot less money. I don't know. These are two generational players in my opinion.
They are. But you got to have a team that is willing to pay them the $400 million, the $3 million, the $200 million. Do you have to find a team that is willing to do that? And like you just said, there's not many out there that are going to risk 10 years of their budget for one player. They could do so much with other money. Like for example, if Pujols would have signed here, that big old money contract, we probably wouldn't see Yadi stay here. We probably wouldn't see Wainwright at that moment. And we probably would have never seen Matt Holliday in our uniform. You know, things like that, or Beltran. Because they came because that big old contract wasn't signed. So I'm in favor of signing Machado and or Harper. I believe me, it'll take us straight to the World Series. I really believe it. But they are the one paying. They are the one thinking about it and making sure they don't go bad in the next 3 years. You know what I'm saying? So they're taking care of their own, and that's why you don't see it happening. But I told you got to have what happened to your main guy. Die was the most embarrassing thing for baseball. He had 29 home runs, I think, almost 100 RBIs, 300 batting average. And nobody signed him the next year. Now, he wanted more money. I get that. But you still have to have one. You have to have one guy wanting to do that. And Jermaine Dye couldn't even find a one-year deal the next year after 29 home runs, 100 RBIs. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You still got to have it. You still got to have those owners that are willing to do it.
I got to ask you, there's been some, you know, I don't know, rumors, articles, statements, and I know they have basis. I mean, the players union and the league have been engaged in talks to make changes in the game, some of them as early as immediately. What do you think of some of these? I'm just going to hit you with a couple of these. Do you believe this DH thing in the National League has a real chance of happening? A, do you think it would happen? And B, do you think it's a good idea?
Oh, shoot, it's going to happen. Do I think it's a good idea? No. I like the old school baseball. I always sustain my position. I love watching the pitcher hit and bunting and all that little game stuff. I love that. Make him work at it. You know what I'm saying? He's part of the game. In another way, this is the two ways I see it. I love the old school baseball. Like I said, I love the bunting and all that stuff for the pitcher. I know it's a risk. I know it's a big risk these days because of what we've seen. But anyways, but my second point is the DH would be fine too, because it gives another opportunity to another player to have a job. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
To have jobs. It gives maybe two more guys per team. Who knows, one or two more guys per team to have an extra 5 years in their careers, an extra 3 years in their career, and it could make a difference into their family. I get that point. So if they become a DH league, I won't be mad. I won't be mad because that's a lot of jobs that a lot of guys could have. And plus, you imagine our lineup with Martinez in a DH spot. You see what I'm saying?
For sure.
So I'm good with both. I just love the old school baseball so much. The guys, the pitcher standing there, making sure he bunts the guy over. I'm with Bochy, man. Bruce Bochy always told me, Bimo, I don't like the DH spot. I mean, I like it to be in the other league. It's fine. It's one league. It's okay. But in our league, I love managing. Now in the DH spot era, you just sit back like American League game. You just sit back and waiting for the 3-run homer. I mean, there's no game. Not every team, Jimbo. Not every team, right? I mean, they obviously some teams that play the little ball, but most of the teams sit back and waiting for the guy to hit a 3-run double, and it doesn't happen. So instead of moving the guys over and things like that. So I'm with Bochy, man. I think if they leave it like this, it would be perfect how it is. You know, the Asian American League. No DH in the National League. I'm great with it. But if they put the DH, hey, man, you know, it's another job for a couple more guys in your team. And that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I don't know why, but I'm not, like, passionate about it either way. Like, if it happens, I'd be like, okay, great. If it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be like, oh, this is stupid. I know our buddy Steve-O, you know,
This is better. This is better to be talking about the DH than not throw a 4-pitch walk. Are you kidding me? You're just going to say, go to first. Go to first. No throwing 4 balls. No, you have to throw the 4 balls for me to go to first base.
Right.
And if he cannot throw the ball to the catcher, that's not my problem. You know?
Sure.
Make him work at it. It's like the shift. I'm tired of hearing people talking about the shift. Oh, they take me away 20 more hits in a season. The hell with you. Learn to hit the other way. You know, let the ball travel deep and hit a ground ball too short, and you get a hit. A free hit. They're giving you a free freaking hit because they're not even counting on that other side. And if you're a righty, they're moving everybody on the side, and you have a hole at second base. And then if you're a lefty, you have a hole at third base, a hole at shortstop. Stop crying. Wait for the ball. Work on the off season, letting the ball travel, and hit the ball the other way. And you'll see that they'll change their shift to normal, and then you can come back to hit the way that you want to hit. But I'm getting tired of people saying the shift. It's the same thing. Why do we need to change the shift? That's the percentage they're going to hit it. That's my position in defense. Why? Because you want more offense? Get the heck out of here, man. I'm so tired of that, dude. I'm really fed up with it. Make those hitters work. Let the ball get deep and get jammed, like Tony Wynn used to say. Do you think they would play Tony Wynn like they play Matt Carpenter? Heck no, because Tony Wynn will beat you the other way so easy. Well, work at it. Let's make it work. And Carp, the last couple of years I've seen, he's trying hard because he's bunting and he's trying to bunt his way in. I see that. But I'm just saying Carp because he's our guy, right? But anybody in the league, I'm talking about anybody in the league, man. Are you serious? Stop with the shift. It's the same thing. And then they got the visit to the mound. Come on, man. Seriously? And then you cannot visit so many times, but then the replay. The replay takes forever. You know what I'm saying, man? I mean, it's just at least we're talking about the DH and not the other dumb stuff.
Yeah, and again, I said, I don't have a problem like one way or the other. I'm okay. I won't I won't freak out. Would I like it? I'm sure I would. It's just not something for some reason I'm really focused on. I have a bigger problem with the second thing that's kind of got me unnerved, and that's the relief pitcher must pitch to three batters. Now, people are bringing up the obvious problems with that. I can't believe for one reason, I can't believe for 1 minute that some of the things that have been brought up will not be addressed in the way the rule is enforced. And that is,
what is their main reason for that?
I can only think of two reasons. There's only two reasons. So let's figure that out, right? There's only two reasons. One, they want to eliminate the time it takes to change relief pitchers after throwing to one batter. And what that's right. I mean, I know you're laughing. I'm laughing too. The only other thing is, and this is the truth, and this is why it's so silly to me. The only other reason to do it is the competitive advantage. It's like they know, because he said it, not me. I believe. I know I read this a year or maybe a little bit longer ago that the new commissioner had mentioned that they felt that the relief pitching had stagnated the offense. Basically came out and said that the relief pitching is so good because of the way teams use it now that it has stagnated offense.
That's baseball, though.
Well, and other sports have done goofy things like this.
So
others, you know,
So they're trying, Jimbo, to eliminate that so the offense can pick up and have more fun games. Is that what they're trying to say? Because that's what I see.
Well,
because you're trying to say, oh no, they can do that. So Machado cannot face this guy, and then Harper behind him, you cannot bring Miller. He has to face the right-hander. What? So I lose my game because I bring the righty to Machado, and I cannot bring the lefty for Harper right after. You see what I'm saying?
No, I agree.
That is so dumb, idiotic, and if he goes through, it's an embarrassing for the game of baseball.
I'm telling
you right now.
I agree, and I'm here to tell you, there's no doubt in my mind, if you look at it, there is no other reason than the two things I mentioned, because think about it. What they're basically saying is that if it's an advantage, like, you know, and I'm going to use a name, you know, like when the Cardinals had Tony Fossis or any of these left-handers that people bring in for one hitter. Well, now what they're saying is, you know, that guy who's only good pitching to that lefty is now going to have to face three hitters. So that guy's going to have to get out hitters that.
No. They're trying to give the advantage again to the hitters. And we discussed this before, I think. When you cannot even pitch inside, you get a warning. What do you do when you get a warning, Jimbo? You start throwing where?
Well, you.
Away?
Yeah.
Don't you think the hitter knows that?
I would assume.
So that's up for the hitter, right? That every rule is to the hitter and nothing to the pitcher. Why not tell the hitters you cannot, unless you had an injury that had your elbow or your shin guard, you had it all, you got a hit or something like that. You know, you got hit there or you got hit in the elbow and you broke it or something, and then you're protecting it. Or you have screws in there or something. If you don't have that, you can't wear no freaking guard. Why not say that? Why not come out and get a rule about getting the hitters to hit without a elbow guard or about with the chin guard? That will be making more sense, because now you're fixing everything towards the hitters, but at least the hitter would not be comfortable getting hit in the elbow. I seen guys sticking the elbow out with the protector because it ain't gonna hurt. You get a hit by pitch, go to first. You see what I'm saying? But take that gear out, and I hit with the elbow guard because it was no rule. But if they would have taken it out, I would have done it. But take it out and see how many hitters lean out over the plate. And now you're even with the pitchers. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they're trying to make a league that hits home runs and it's fun for the fans, but the pitchers go to hell because they gotta give it up for us to have a fun game. What? How about a 1-0 game? How about a 2-0 game? I love those because the pitcher did their job. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I agree.
But the league is going towards hitting. What the heck, man? Well, how about the freaking pitchers, man?
Well, you look at – here's my thing with sports in general. So they have at times governed – so the governing body of whatever sport it is. So in the NFL, you look at the commissioner, and then the league has committees, and then it goes to owners' votes. The Major League Baseball is the same. Basketball is the same. At one time or another, I understand that all sports have changed rules to evolve for a variety of reasons. You know, they can say they may have evolved for the betterment of their game, but in the end, what they have done at times has made changes to what they believe is make the game more entertaining. Like, you can't. I can sit here and say all day long that some of the changes that have been made in the past are for the quote unquote betterment of the game, but the reality of it is, I don't believe that. I believe wholeheartedly that when these people make changes, it is to increase the entertainment value of the game as they see it. When they change the mound after Bob Gibson basically dominated the league and others were doing as well, it was simple. They didn't feel like not having offense in the league was a good thing. NBA did it when they didn't allow you to play like the whole zone thing. Like Wilt Chamberlain brought that on. Like they didn't want teams triple teaming him and leaving guys open that couldn't play. So by spreading it out, they were able to increase the offense. So
I know, but let the other guy shoot better then.
Well, I agree with you. It's almost like they want to make sure that it happens as opposed to saying, hey, other guys need to raise their game. Football's done it. Football's done it, right? Like, you can't touch the quarterback anymore. If you grab a receiver at all now, it's hold. So every game has tried to do something to increase what? Offense. They've tried to increase offense. The last thing I heard, which I got to ask you, I mean, you know, we've heard talk, and you never know what true rumor is. There's been talk like in the NBA about them raising the rim. Now, I don't know if they would ever really do that. But the talk about possibly moving the mound back a little bit. Do you even believe that? Do you even believe that? Or do you think that's somebody being funny?
No, they're just trying to look for things now. There's somebody out there it's like they're staring things up. You know what I'm saying? Like when they're trying – any idiotic thing that they say, they're just trying to throw it out there and see if they hit it. You know what I'm saying? It's like you going to, or me going to YouTube and trying to get a lot of likes in YouTube, you know, just doing something dumb. So these guys probably just throwing something out there. Let me see if it works. I mean, come on, man. Seriously, the game has gone to an embarrassing time. Let's not get it more embarrassing. You know what I'm saying? Why do you have to? Why you cannot break a double play at second base? Why? Why can you not? How do you call that? Why can you not throw the four baseballs to the plate where the replay takes 4 minutes? You know, the four balls doesn't take 1 minute if done right. It doesn't take 1 minute. And actually, the pitcher doesn't get away with it because if the pitcher doesn't know and he gets nervous throwing the ball, he might throw it away and win the game for the other team. So why can't we just have a rule that if the catcher is blocking the play and he's blocking it, you got a chance to drill him. But if the catcher is away from the play, you can't hit him. That's it. That's all they had to do, right? So no, they got to eliminate the whole process of getting hit by the catcher. And I'm not in favor of the catchers getting hit. I don't like that. Believe me, I got hit many times and it's not fun at all. So I'm not saying that. But they didn't have to change the rule. All they have to do is like, hey, if he's blocking the plate, drill him. And if he's not blocking the plate, leave him alone. Slide. You see what I'm saying?
For sure.
And then why do we have to change all these things like replay and all that when Cardinals lost a World Series against Kansas City, I think, because we had no replay? Or, I mean, come on, man, that's game. Let those umpires do their job And if they messed up, hey, man, that was it. They messed up. You know, that's it. We have to live with it like we all did in the past. But I'm just saying, man, they're ruining the game little by little. They're ruining unless this is the way they wanted to go at it. Unless this is the way they want to go and they're 100% sure their fans will like this. Because old school fans, old school baseball players, I bet you anything, they don't like the way the baseball's going.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing as far as like if fans ever truly, you know, want to take a stand on something like this. Like, I don't know if they will. Like, I can't decide where fans are at in this equation with rule changes. I think some want to argue just to argue. I do believe that there are some that
I think the young ones, Jimbo, love the hitting, right? The young ones.
Sure.
But I bet you anything, the old school fans will love to see good pitching against good hitting, and whoever wins, wins. And if you're a good hitter, you're going to hit good pitching. And if you're a good pitcher, you're gonna end up beating the good hitting sometimes. So why not see that? Why not see that challenge? You know what got me upset the other day, Jimbo, real quick? When people started getting upset about New England going to the Super Bowl. Ah, New England again. I am going to watch. Wow. So tell the other teams to beat New England. You see what I'm saying? How easy that was?
Yeah.
If you don't want to see them, well, tell whoever, Kansas City, to step up and beat him, or whoever, you know, the Rams, beat him up, and then they won't be there. So it's the same with baseball. Like, if you can hit the shift, hey, work at it. Make sure you work at it, because they're giving you a free hit, and you're complaining about the shift, and when they're doing is giving you a free hit, if you can hit the ball the other way. When you're not throwing the ball four times to walk a guy, when you have a replay these days, when you can't even hit the guy at second base, how embarrassing is that when we see it these days? You tell me how embarrassing baseball is that you got to run to second base, slide away from the fielder. Now you can put a catcher at second base and they'll turn a double play. That's how bad baseball is getting. But anyways, that's how they want it. That's how they're looking for. That's what they're heading for. And they got it. They did it. So we just have to adjust. Even if we don't like it, we have to adjust to those changes. Because what can we do, right? I mean, they're already changing. So let's just try to adjust. And that's what we're doing.
Well, we shall see, my friend. I'm not real sure where we go from here. But I have to believe in my heart that some of this stuff is gonna make changes to the game, and I'm not real sure that there are changes that everybody's really, really gonna love at the end of the day. So, again, I don't, you know, I have no idea. But we will see.
One last thing, buddy.
Yep.
You know how all the power and the efforts are going towards a hitting league. All the efforts are going to shorten the games out, trying to stop these, trying to stop that, so make the game quicker. All that effort that the league is doing should be going to Tampa Bay and getting fans into the stadium. It's going to Miami and trying to help them get fans to the stadium. It's going to places where nobody goes to watch a game and they lose money. Well, they don't lose, but anyway, it's going to these places that people are not showing up, and the teams keep trading people away, like the D-backs. They traded six people away, and three of them four of them were All-Stars. Do you think the fan base would hate that? They're hating it right now because they did that to the D-backs. So going to those places and trying to get the fans engaged into baseball, that's what they need to do. And put all that effort that they're putting on, oh, the game needs to be shorter, the pitcher needs to go back, they can throw inside, the shift, oh my gosh, the shift. All that effort they're doing, go use that effort into those teams that have no fans, and the fans can't go. Work with them. Let's see if we can bring the fans over, put the prices down, do this. You know what I'm saying? That's sure. what they need to put all that effort in, to have a really beautiful baseball game when fans are going to every stadium. That was beautiful. That is beautiful.
Yeah, I find it hard to get passionate about changes until they happen, I guess. I can sit here and have a conversation about, you know, we didn't even cover some of the silly ones, like the putting a runner on second base in extra innings, which seems little leagueish to me.
On.
I mean, these
that
are,
is,
you know,
come on, man.
I just have a hard time believing that all of this is all over a few minutes in a baseball
game.
For
me, you just ruined baseball. Think about it.
Sure. No, I agree.
For me, I'm talking about my own opinion, right?
No,
for
I agree.
For me, it just ruined baseball for me. For me, it just ruined. And if they bring that, you have to pitch to three batters thing, and then they move the mound back, and then the DH doesn't bother me, like I told you. I think if they leave it like this, it'd be perfect for me. But if they put the DH, I won't be mad, because it's another job, you know. It's another extra couple guys that might stay in the big leagues for a little longer time, which I'm okay with that. But the other stupid stuff they have done, come on, man, you can't do that. You can't do all that stuff and think the game is gonna be fun.
Well, I don't know what will happen eventually, but I don't have a great explanation for who's sitting in a room thinking some of this stuff is a good idea. Like, you know, I think
Jimbo, you're sorry, buddy, but you don't want to sign veteran players that are proven and they know they can hit and they've proven because they cost too much money. And then you want to sign the young guys to manage your budget. But then the young guys cannot do the better job than the veterans. And you're asking for more offense. You see how it doesn't make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree. And like I said, I can live with a real conversation about what the DH does for the game. There's no doubt that that is something that is impactful. And I would even say, even though some people don't like it, you could use the word meaningful. And the reason you can use the word meaningful is because they're doing it in the American League. This isn't like it's a radical change across baseball. So, you know, there's a variety of descriptive words that you could use when saying that we're going to have a conversation about this thing. The other stuff to me is all just silly nonsense. And it quite frankly feels like the people that are supposed to be the smartest people in the room grasping at straws for an answer to a problem that they refuse to want to deal with. I agree with what people have said. And I'll end our conversation today with this, pretty simply. I think the MLB has way bigger fish to fry than whether a relief pitcher should pitch to three batters or one or a pitch clock
or a
runner on second base. They have, like, to me, what this seems to me like if you were a kid and you fell off your bike and you broke your arm, and your arm's broken and the skin's ripped open and you skinned your knee, it's like walking into your mom and her looking at you and going, let's get that knee taken care of.
Exactly.
Okay, you've got a real problem in baseball. I said that we were going to do this on the next Bow Ties and Bullshit episode because that's where they really like to dive into the behind-the-scenes numbers. But I'm serious. How many teams today – pitchers and catchers are getting ready to report. How many teams really, really have a chance to win the World Series? And how many care? That's a problem. That's a real problem.
Yeah, and the caring part is the biggest problem for me. Like, how the heck you're not going to care about winning the World Series? When I heard, I'm not going to say the name, but I heard guys, the owner, talking to players saying, well, remember, guys, we got to get, you got to be good to those 3 million because that's what we're looking for. 3 million fans in the stands. And you're like, wait, what? I thought our main goal was winning the World Series. I mean, that's what I thought it was. And now you're telling me that the main thing is having 3 million fans. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, so, I agree.
There's owners out there. I'm not saying ours is, because I don't know, but there has to be owners out there that has that problem, that they want the $3 million and they come up on top, right? That's what they're looking for. And that's okay if they see it that way. Hey, it's fine, but it's not fine with us. It's not fine with me. Whenever I build a team, like whenever we're talking about the St. Louis Cardinals, Jimbo, right now, I'm going ahead and I'm thinking about winning the damn World Series. I'm not trying to make the playoff because we haven't made it in 3 years. What good does it do it to go into a playoff and you're going to lose anyways? You know what I'm saying? Oh, but we make the playoff. I'm like, okay, we make the playoff. That's great. But seriously, what we should be thinking is the winning the World Series. That's more important to me. You know what I'm saying? That's the mentality they need to have.
Here's the last question for you for the day. Does winning the World Series mean more to fans or the owners?
Oh, wow.
You know why I asked that question, right? Because it seems to me like if you were to assess the way most fans, and I'm one of them, okay? If you were to assess the way I believe that most fans feel about the Cardinal ownership, I think they would say that the Cardinal ownership and management think of winning a World Series this way. Get into the playoffs because once you get in, any of those teams could win. So
well, the more times you get to the playoffs, the more chances you have to win the World Series.
Whereas, that's just right. Up. But that's as a Cardinal fan like us right now are kind of saying, I think we might be good enough to make the playoffs right now, but we definitely aren't good enough to win the World Series. See, I think Cardinals ownership and management would disagree. They would look at us and say, all you got to do is get in, and if you get hot, you can beat any of those teams. Nobody is like, you know, and it just, and
it happens.
Sure.
Don't feel bad. I mean, it happens. They might be thinking that. We don't know. But I hope in my heart that they're thinking World Series, because in a way you get four games at home, or you get three games, or what is it? Four out of seven. So you're at least going to get three games at home, and each game can generate up to $10 million each game for your budget, you know, and you weren't counting on that the whole year, because, you know, once you get to the playoff, every playoff game generates from $7 to $10 million every single one game. So you don't think they want to win the World Series? Shoot, they want to go to the playoff, have two games at home, three games at home at least. But if they can go to the World Series, gosh, man, I don't see why not, man.
Well, and that's kind of where I go with
from
this.
Every angle,
you know,
from every angle.
I just wonder if the average fan had a conversation with Mr. DeWitt. If the average fan didn't look at Mr. DeWitt and say, this is how I envision this going, a respectful fan. Mr. DeWitt, I appreciate everything you've done. I really love the additions of Paul Goldschmidt. I really love the addition of Andrew Miller. If he's healthy, I think it really helps us. But Mr. DeWitt, I got to ask you a question. While we're improved, wouldn't we be so much better with Bryce Harper than Dexter Fowler? I think we'd be a real World Series caliber team. And I think Mr. DeWitt would look at him and go, I don't necessarily disagree with you that we could be. The problem is there's no guarantees. The team we have right now could win the World Series. And if we added Bryce Harper, that team could not even make the playoffs because of circumstances. I think that's how those people deal. I think they look at it and say, look, we have what we feel is a good enough team to win the division and get in the playoffs. And if that happens, we have just as good a chance as anybody else of winning. I think that's how they really look at it.
Yeah, yeah. And I told you that before. I said, listen, they might be thinking totally different from what we're thinking, you know?
Sure.
That's we don't know. We don't know. We just hope that they're thinking we're serious. But they might be thinking, get in the playoff. Give me three games at home. And we broke out even, or we broke out on top this year. Or who knows that what they might be thinking. We just hope and pray that they're thinking World Series like I am. When I'm building my team, when I'm looking around. When I told you, or like you saying, when you're saying Harper, Machado, whoever's out there, Miller, we got them. Goldsmith's a good ad. So when we got this guy, I'm not looking to make it to the playoffs so the fans can stop talking. That's not my thinking. I'll tell you the truth. My thinking is I got to get in the playoff and I got to win the whole thing. You know, that's what I'm thinking. The Miller's going to help us in the playoff. Goldsmith might get hot in the playoffs and carry us into a World Series. And that's what we're looking for. Maybe Machado, if we can sign him, he can carry us through the World Series. That's what the mentality has to be. And but we don't know. Of course, we don't know what they're thinking, obviously.
Yeah, I'm 100%, you know, okay with us as a club always trying to improve and get better. I also understand that some things that we want, you know, it's like a car. You know, do we really need this car to get us where we need to go? I got to tell you, there's something about driving a much nicer car. I don't know what it is, but it sure feels like that to me.
Do you want to spend $100,000 on a Porsche, or do you want to spend $20,000 on a Hyundai, and you still have the $80,000 to do whatever else you want?
No, you're right. You're definitely right. You're not wrong. That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I'm not saying if you have the opportunity to sign these two guys, one of them at least will be awesome for the team. I'm not saying no. I'm saying yes. Go for it. But if they don't do it, they might have their reasons inside that we don't know. They might not want to do that. They might want to keep a couple guys. So, and if they sign these guys to these big deals, they're going to have to part ways with other guys. You know, all other guys have to go. You see what I'm saying?
For sure. So, yeah.
That's the way I see it. I mean, they might be, I don't want to spend $300 when I can get that $300, sign a $50 or $60 million, and then I still have $200 million to move around and see if we can do something with the relievers or, you know, or whatever, you know. So they got it. They probably seen it that way.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like I said, some of this stuff seems strange from a Cardinal perspective, I guess.
Very interesting, huh?
It is interesting. And we'll finish with this. From a Cardinal perspective, I'm with you. A DH today, boy, it sure feels to me like what that really means is, you know, something I've said all along. I mean, Jose Martinez is your number two hitter. That enables Goldschmidt to hit third, Ozuna to hit fourth, which I think is your best lineup because, you know, otherwise I believe it's Dexter Fowler starting off hitting second. And listen, whether I like Dexter Fowler or not as a player is irrelevant, okay? He's going to play, and they're going to jam him down our throats. And I hope, for one, I won't speak for anybody else, okay? I without fail, would love for Dexter Fowler to have a great season. Doesn't matter what I think of him.
Because we need him.
That's right.
Yes, we need him because we're thinking that's the playoff, because we're thinking ahead in the playoff and more. You know what I'm saying? We're thinking the World Series win. That's why we need Dexter Fowler. But what we don't need is Carpenter and Fowler struggling the first month. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's what we don't need. But what we need is hopefully Carpenter and Fowler have the greatest season of their life this year, you know, because we need them.
Absolutely. Well, it'll be exciting. I know things are heating up. I'm just curious. I don't know. This is unscripted. I didn't even think about this. Just curious. I'm sure Cardinal fans everywhere are just wondering how your brother's doing. I know it came out that he had a little something done to his knee, and he felt like he'd be ready to go by opening day, but was not going to catch that early in spring training. You know, you hearing anything from him? Is he feeling good and going to be ready to go?
Well, I haven't seen him catch yet. All the videos that I seen him is lifting weights and running and doing the workouts in the gym like normally he does. He haven't cashed yet. And the only thing I know is that he's not gonna cash until the middle of March anyways in games.
Yeah.
Or late March. And knowing Yadi, Jimbo, I don't think he needs that many games in spring training to get ready. Not at this stage of his career. Because Yadi knows what turns it on and what turns it off. So
I don't think he needs that many games in spring training. You know, it's always good. It's always good because I thought it always helped me.
Right.
But I don't think it makes a difference on Yadi if he plays from the March 1st or something like that, you know. So yeah. I think he's going to end up playing from middle of March. And I think he's going to be okay. He looks okay. I just haven't seen him bend down and squatting down and all that stuff. I haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, I agree. I think I don't know that he needs to do anything before then. From a catching standpoint, I'm sure he'll get his reps. I'm sure he'll take swings. I'm sure he'll do all that. And I, like you, I think, you know, especially as he gets older, why wouldn't you regulate the amount of time that he spends and get, you know, he knows what he needs to do to get ready. I think really more than anything, if Cardinal fans, you know, felt really, really good that he was not going to not start on opening day, that would be good enough for them.
Yep, that'll be really good. And Yadi, you can count on him. You know that. We've seen him. He's shown us that. So even if he's slow at the beginning, we can still count on him catching behind the plate. So I'm not worried about Yadi. Yadi's going to be fine, man. He's fired up for the season. You saw it on the social media every time you see him. But he's good, man. Yadi doesn't worry me. And Onozuna, I know a lot of people were worried about him because they said that he wasn't working out the right way or doing something the right way. Dude, his workouts are sick. I don't know if you have him on social media, but holy crap, his workouts are sick, man. I mean, he works his butt off. This kid is going to have one of the best years you watch. I have been saying it since last year. Now that he's healthy, he's going to come out firing, man. You watch. He's going to have a great year.
Well, I certainly hope so. I know Cardinal fans do as well. I also know they appreciate you joining us on the M4byYadi.com hotline like you do. Won't be long. You'll be in town, and we're going to get to have some fun when you get here. Until that time, though, my friend, you enjoy your time with your family, and I can honestly say that I'll see you soon.
You got it, buddy. Go Birds, man.
All right. That's our man, Benji Molina, M4byYadi.com hotline. Want to thank him, as always, for joining us on the celebrity line there. Means a lot to us. Want to thank everybody for joining us on the show today. Our partners, of course, that mean everything to us. Our friend Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, all his continued support. It means so much to us. You know, whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. The construction team, the heating and cooling team, the electric team, they're all ready to take care of anything you need. That heating and cooling team right now with this weather in St. Louis is, boy, they couldn't be any busier. But if you want the top people in the game working on your stuff, it's InnovativeCompanies.com. GMB, Gators Baseball Academy.com. I'd love to thank them for their continued support. Really enjoyed our time over there watching Benji use the hit tracks. The kids are loving that, starting to use that as a tool to help kids get better. They've got so many great things going on over at the Sports Barn. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, whether you're in Missouri. They're moving over to Illinois now as well to expand. And, of course, they have the academy for the prep players. Tons of training classes going on, getting those players ready for high school baseball, and then the youth, of course, that'll start up here in our area probably in a couple of months. Give them a shout. Find out if they've got something that can help you and your player become better. And their four-pillar system, guys, is awesome when it comes to developing kids. Make sure you check it out, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. To our friends at Adam Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis. St. Louis, I just tell you this. Here's your cue. It's time for you to head to Adam Smokehouse. They also have the delivery available in certain areas. You can find out just by contacting them at Adam. You know, obviously, give them a call at Adam Smokehouse. Located on Watson Road, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, open till 7. And, of course, if you have any catering needs or any situations where you want to order a bunch of box lunches for work or for an event, they've got you covered. That's our good friend Mike, Adam Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Once again, I know there's great barbecue in St. Louis, folks, and I know we're partial, but I just think it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. I'm actually heading over there right after the show today to meet our cohorts in crime over on the Blues NHL podcast, Jamie Rivers, as they're going to be announcing a great contest over there for all of our Blues fans that are Cardinals fans. You can go to bluesnhlpodcast.com and listen to their show and learn more about a great contest involving Adam Smokehouse and your ability to spend some time with the guys at Blues NHL podcast. When they do their live from Minner Arena at Minner Arena, where Jamie always has a special guest or two. Last year, Tony Twist joined. You'll be able to attend, have some great barbecue, and and be a part of that show as well. So make sure you check those guys out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. We will be announcing our own opening day contest here on Two Birds on a Bat, as I mentioned earlier in the show. You're going to have an opportunity to join us on opening day by doing some simple things, and that contest and its details will be released shortly, so stay tuned for that. Don't forget, twobirdsonabat.com is where you can find us. Make sure you subscribe to the show there. We're also going to ask you to check us out on Twitter. At Birds on a Bat Show is where you can where you can find us. If you're a Cardinal fan and you like us and you follow us back, or if you follow us, we're going to follow you back if you're a Cardinal fan. It's that simple. Facebook, we're always trying to grow our Facebook group, guys. That's Two Birds on a Bat. Type it in. Like our page. Click invite your friends. Make sure when you see the pinned post that you've liked it, commented on it, and shared it. You'll be eligible for wonderful prizes, folks. So thank you for that. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. All of our friends at lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio, the great streaming platform, make sure you've downloaded it. Great Cardinal stuff coming soon on that as well. And to all of our Facebook partners, Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com, thank you for your support. Art McLeod, Art City Media. Of course, our friends over at Cardinals Nation, CN247 Network, Chris Lawless, one of my favorite people in Cardinal baseball, does such a great job. Ron, Gino, Crash, everybody that's involved in St. Louis Cardinal baseball means so much to us. And they do a great job over there with their shows, with their pages. Just exciting things happening from that standpoint. Also want to thank Liz and Vicky, two of my favorite Facebook pages. Friends of Yadier Molina, obviously one of our favorites. And, of course, I am a Cardinal fan. Yes, I am. Just great pages, great content, and people that do it because they absolutely love it. STL Cardinals, STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals crew. Love that one as well. There are so many great ones, folks. It's never ending. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.